morning. Good to see you all. Thankful for a lot this morning already. Thank you, Doug and Harold, for your amazing words of prayer and leading us in the Lord's Supper. And maybe even most thankful for me, thankful for John Hogan leading us in song this morning. What a great job he did. So if you're new to us, you're getting the third string guy this morning. Okay, our main preaching minister is on a very well-deserved vacation with his family to Disney World. Michael usually does it next, but he's getting ready for next week along with some of our members of our church to talk about what they are thankful for. And it's going to be a really, really powerful Sunday, next Sunday. So I hope you can be there for that. I'm looking forward to hearing that. So there was a man who went to see a doctor to have a little skin tag removed from his neck. Simple procedure, or so he thought, until he met with this drill sergeant of a nurse. She said, "Down the hall, first door on your left, take off all your clothes." He said, no, ma'am, I'm just here to have this little skin tag taken off." She said, "Down the hall, first door on your left, take off all your clothes." "Ma'am, you don't understand. I just came down the hall. First door on your left, take off all your clothes." So he goes down the hall, opens the first door on the left, and there's a guy sitting there in his boxers. He says, "Man, that nurse sure is mean." The guy in the boxer said, "Tell me about it. I'm the UPS driver." So, you see, the battle to be in charge is real. And it has been waged from the very beginning. Our very first parents, Adam and Eve, they were seduced by the lie that they should take control of their lives. The tempter said, "Why don't you make your own decisions? Why don't you take charge of your future? Why don't you call the shots in your life?" Well, they did, and it was disastrous. And they infected us with DNA that has been passed on to us to this very day. We have what I heard someone call empire desire. We want to build our own kingdoms. And there's a lot of people out there that want to help us do just that. You look at the bookshelves, you listen to the airwaves, there's all sorts of people telling us and giving us advice on how to take control of our lives, to learn how we can be in charge. There's just one problem: reality. Because whether we like it or not, we are not in control. And this can be a very hard thing to hear. But what can be once thought of as frustrating can also be seen as liberating. See, some of us, and I'll include myself in this, are controlaholics. We like order. We like things to be done the way we like them to be done. There's a book, you can see it on the screen. I don't know if any of you have heard of this book. I'll be honest, I did not hear of this book before I started researching for this. But certainly I've heard of Dr. Seuss, who I love, best children's author ever. Anyway, the book that I'm talking about is called Yertle the Turtle. Anybody heard of that book? Okay, good. Now, if you don't know, Yertle was the king of the turtles in his pond. But he wasn't happy because he felt like he should have a much more expansive rule. So Yertle came up with an idea. He ordered all of the turtles in his pond to stack themselves one on top of the other. And then he would go to the top. Because from a higher vantage point, he could see more. And then he could convince himself that he was more powerful and he had more realm to control. Now, this put great stress on the other turtles, and they began to complain about how hard it was. But Yertle had no use for complaining turtles. He was a snapping turtle. He was a dictator, and he made it very clear that this was his pond, this was his empire, he is in control. Now, we'll come back to Yertle in a moment. But here's something to consider. Americans have trouble reading the Bible. And here's why. The Bible was primarily written to people that knew they weren't in control. They were under the power of another empire, and they weren't calling the shots. But we're Americans. We serve no sovereign. We're proud of our history. No one tells us what to do. It is our birthright to be in charge of our lives and our futures. That's why, for example, when you go to Starbucks, you soon find out there are 80,000 different ways to order your drink. Now, I don't drink coffee, but I have been to a Starbucks, and I found out that you don't drink coffee either. Because by the time you dump in all the caramel and all the spice and all the whipped cream, what you got is liquid pie. And there are 80,000 different ways to make your liquid pie. And that's why it costs so much, by the way. So the marketers are not fools. They know how we're wired. They know that have it your way applies to much more than just fast food. See, we have great motivation to establish order in our lives, and we experience great frustration when that is not realized. So here's what happens. Our desire for control as the end can tempt us to choose some very unhealthy means to get there. That's why some here are workaholics. You think so much about money that because underneath all of that thought is if I just get enough money, then I am in control of my future. Stock market may go up, it may go down, doesn't matter, it's not going to bother me. I'm in control. That's why some manipulate their relationships with others. You know, there may be someone in here right now who has a bad temper, and you know it, but you don't do much about it because you've learned that your family walks on eggshells afraid that you might explode. So you get your way. It's not healthy, but it's efficient. There may be someone else in here who just loves to nag and irritate, but it works. You get your way. It's not healthy, but it's efficient. You see, control is an idol, and it demands our allegiance. But not only is it a false god, it is a puny god. Because whether we like it or not, controlaholism is an addiction that will never deliver us the life we think we want. Because life doesn't recognize our sovereignty. The future does not recognize mist as its master. And I use that word mist on purpose because it comes out of the Bible. We read in James 4, it says, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." See, life refuses to take orders from any of us. Every single day, our lives are significantly impacted by other people and by events that we can't control. So, let's go back to Yertl. You see, little Mac at the bottom of the stack was very stressed by the new arrangement, and when he could not take it anymore, he burped. This threw the whole kingdom into disarray and caused Yertl to fall off his throne and into the pond. And one commentator made this observation: "You are just one burp away from reality." You know, this has happened to me a couple times in the last couple of years. A couple years ago, Sarah and I went to a wedding in Wisconsin. And Sarah's parents were always very generous to us, had a lot of airline miles, and they got us plane tickets. And so, you know, we had all the plans all laid out. We get up to the Cleveland airport, and we're starting in the little kiosk to check in.
and nothing's working at the kiosk for us. Okay, our confirmation, nothing is working. So eventually Sarah goes and gets somebody to come over and help. And as I'm watching them talk, I kind of look over at Sarah's shoulder, and I notice on the confirmation information, I see the letters C-A-K, which you know stands for Akron Canton Airport, and we're standing in the Cleveland Airport. Big problem, okay? Now, it all worked out just fine, but let me tell you, in that moment, I felt we had lost all control, for sure. Another time, just this past summer, we went to Myrtle Beach. It was right after VBS. I started getting this pain in my side. I thought it was just indigestion, no big deal. Even though we were going on an 11-hour car ride to Myrtle Beach the very next morning, I toss and turn all night. We drive down, still hurts. Gets to the point where everybody else is going to the beach, and I'm up in the condo on the couch. And the pain is getting worse and getting worse. Little did I know I would be on the couch while everybody's on the beach. Little did I know I would soon be going to the emergency room while I was at Myrtle Beach. And it turned out to be pancreatitis, which caused all sorts of more doctor's appointments and then another surgery. Certainly was not in my plans. Certainly not something I had control over. You know, we probably all had something like that happened that caused us to come to the reality that we are not in charge. You know, for some it could be even more serious. Someone could be listening to me right now that a year from today could be in a ferocious battle with cancer. But you don't know it now. You don't see it coming. Someone listening right now is going to be without a job this time next year. The company is downsizing. It's not your fault, but you can't stop it because you're not in control. Somebody could be listening right now that a year from today is going to be holding a baby that you had no idea was on its way. Someone could be planning a wedding a year from now with someone that they haven't even met yet. See, life refuses to be tamed. Much of the good in our lives, we didn't orchestrate. Much of the bad in our lives, we did not anticipate. We never saw it coming. You know, this frustrated Solomon. He was the wisest, the richest, the most powerful man on earth. But he could not control tomorrow. Listen to what he says in Ecclesiastes. I have observed something else under the sun. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race. And the strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. The wise sometimes go hungry. And the skillful are not necessarily wealthy. And those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. It is all decided by chance, by being in the right place at the right time. You see, this world is rigged to remind us that we are the creature. We are not the creator. So we should stop being mad, expecting the universe to operate in a way that it was not designed to operate. Because we are mist. Mist does not call the shots. God does not share his throne. See, you and I were born into someone else's kingdom. God doesn't get off his throne and then get onto a love seat so that he's got room for you there to sit beside him so you can run the universe together. Doesn't work that way. In Psalms it says, "The Lord has made the heavens his throne. From there he rules over everything." That means we can go to the highest peak or the lowest depth or the farthest star and we will not find one square inch where God says, "I wish I ruled that." We can't go anywhere in this universe where God can't say, "Right here, I am in charge." You know, it takes the Bible four words to remind us of that. In the beginning, God. Four words and we've learned two things. There's a God, and it isn't you. There's a universe, and it's not yours. See, God is never threatened. God is never surprised. God never wonders what to do next. Only God can make fixed plans because He alone is a holy, independent being. I am not. I am affected by other people and other events. God is beyond and outside that. So wisdom acknowledges that control belongs only and always to God. This is a healthy acceptance of reality. You notice when Paul writes, he often uses the words, if God wills, and then he says something. That's our way of realizing that we're going to have to adjust constantly to new and unanticipated possibilities in life. When we give up control, it isn't really about the control we lose. It's the illusion that we were ever in control that we need to lose. And honestly, it is so freeing to no longer serve the false god and illusion of control. Some wonderful things happen when you accept and surrender to the truth that you are not in control. One is that you can love better. Giving up control means that we can love better. For those of us that are controlaholics or maybe recovering controlaholics, we can live with this constant irritation. People. Because other people are constantly frustrating our plans, our agendas, and our preferences because they refuse to align with our will. There's a John Ortberg analogy I'm going to use for my own life here. See, I have this kingdom called the Kingdom of Jared. If my people would just live according to this one basic rule of my kingdom, life would be so much easier. But no one cooperates. You see, in my kingdom, there are different states. One of those states is called the state of school, where I work. When my state of school is running like I want, no one interrupts me while I am teaching, all of the students are well behaved and fully engaged, I don't get any emails from disgruntled parents or basically any emails ever. And what does this mean? It means that all is good and right in the state of school in the kingdom of Jared. Then I go to another state in my kingdom called the state of dining out. I am immediately seated. My food comes promptly and just the way I like it. The temperature is perfect and it tastes great. The waiter or waitress cannot refill my drink fast enough. No one around me is loud or obnoxious. And what does this mean? That all is well and good in the state of dining out in the kingdom of Jared. And then I go to my most important state in my kingdom called the state of home. I walk in the door and I notice that the TV has already turned on to the big game. There is a cold soft drink waiting for me by the couch next to the remote. And as I sit down, I hear from the kitchen, "Honey, I'm making you a snack, and then I'm going to come and rub your shoulders." And what does this mean? It means I've walked into the wrong house, because that's not going to happen. You see, the truth is, all of my states are in rebellion. Now, I'm having fun, but here's what I'd like you to remember. As long as we make control our goal, other people will always be the problem. Now, let's be honest. How many of us have someone right now that we love, but they are frustrating us because they will not let us change them? You know, what if it was God's job to change them and it was our job to love them? So here's the deal. If other people are always putting us in the wrong mood, then maybe we're putting Jesus in the wrong place. We need to get off the throne and get back to our role as a servant. Because when we give up control, we start to love better. Here's something else we can do. Giving up control means that we can live bolder. See, people that worship this false god of control are seeking security. It's amazing how many people have made safety the ultimate god. As if the goal of life is to get to the end and then say, I died safely. You know, I've grown up in church. When you grow up in church, you go to a lot of funerals. And I've never heard anyone praise the deceased for their cautiousness. I've never heard anyone say, they never took a risk. They never left their comfort zone. They stayed as safe as they possibly could. And I don't think at any one of our funerals someone is going to say, they risked too much. They sacrificed too much. They gave too much to honor God and serve people. See, we weren't meant to live timidly because we know who is in charge. God is in control. We don't have to be cautious. We can be courageous. At the end of the book of Acts, Paul says, he proclaimed the kingdom of God and he taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Now think about Paul a second. He's been arrested. He has no control over his future, but he knows who his king is. He knows who his Lord is. So he's still bold. He's still brave. And he's still out there doing what is right. That's what happens when you believe in a God who is over everything. You don't think anything can take you under. So you can do the right thing without having to worry about controlling the outcome. You can share your faith with a friend at school or a neighbor or a coworker. You don't have to worry about how they're going to react because you can't control how they respond. You just do the right thing. Maybe you have a friend right now who's going down a path that you just know is going to destroy them. But you've been afraid to say anything about it. Stop. You can't control how they'll receive it, but you can do the right thing. God has you. The future is His. You are going to be okay because He is in control. We need to do the right thing because controlling outcomes is God's job and pursuing obedience is our job. So it becomes so liberating to learn to live life by your conviction instead of by your fears. We will love better and we will live bolder. But one more thing. Giving up control means that we will praise bigger. Now, controlaholics act as though their circumstances are the deciding factor in determining how much worship God is due. If life is good and everything is like a want, then God is good and praise His holy name. Life is good. But if life is hard and nothing is going like I want and I'm out of control, I'm also out of praise. So let's ask ourselves, when life goes crazy and you can't tame it, is God any less worthy of praise? When we've lost control, has God lost His reign in heaven and here on earth? Does God not deserve to be told who He is and acknowledged whether it's a good day or a bad day? Has there ever been a day when it looked like heaven had lost control? And even we saw God on a cross. But even then, the throne of heaven was occupied. See, the cross tells us that nothing is irredeemable. Even when life can't be managed, it can still be meaningful, and we can praise God even in the storm. It's often in the absence of control that we need the presence of God the most. The psalmist says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. What part of your life is out of control right now? You don't have to fake it. There is something in your life right now that you can't fix, and you'll never be able to fix. What you can control is who and how you'll worship. It's amazing to me, you know, again, growing up in church, seeing a lot of people battle things like cancer or diabetes or whatever it may be. And oftentimes I'll see that person after that diagnosis, and the way they worship is so much more real. And it's inspiring. They are worshiping God in the time of the storm. You know, people that don't know the Lord, they ask, how can you praise God in the storm? How can you give God glory when life is crazy? But we don't build our lives on things for which we are not certain. We build our lives on things we are absolutely certain of. Because we've looked inside the empty tomb, and Jesus is not there. Death has been defeated. He's beside the Lord God, and He has promised He is returning. In a second, we're going to pray together. And you know, there could be a dozen things in your life right now that you feel are completely out of control. I want you to just think about one of those. Pick one that you can't control, and then we're going to release it to God. Let's pray together. So we ask, Father, that Your Holy Spirit would refill us and refuel us with courage, with boldness, with peace and assurance. Not because we know what's going to happen tomorrow, but because we know Jesus. Lord, this week reminds us of the beauty of thankfulness. And You are the giver of every good gift. And we are thankful to You. Let us remember that one of those gifts is that we are not in control, and You are. Let us remember Your goodness in every situation, especially in the storm, Lord God. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for the empty tomb. Thank You for the hope that we now have. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And second, John's going to lead us in song. Let's go ahead and stand together. And the song he's going to lead is "All to Jesus I Surrender." And what a beautiful song. What a beautiful meaning. There's something in your life that you just feel like you need help with from brothers and sisters. You need help in prayer with to release that. Then I encourage you to come forward. There's also elders that will be there in the back that can help you. But that's what church is about. We're here to help each other and love on each other and present your requests together to God. Let's sing together.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender. At His feet I bow. forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all.
I surrender all.
All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me.
These words, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. To Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forever. Amen. Go in peace.